the Avs Hockey Podcast. Wildly inaccurate, but full of moxie.
And very posh.
Oh, so posh. Like a Spice Girl.
Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, JV. In this show, my co-host, James Tapeley Graylian, and I break down the offseason for the Avs, the end of the Ryan O'Reilly saga, new rules for the NHL this season, and the excitement regarding an outdoor hockey game in Denver. Those topics and much more Avalanche stuff coming at you in episode number 96 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stay tuned. The AHP is next. Hey, what's going on, Avs fans? Welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. He's James Tapeley Graylian. I'm Jay Veen, and this is your home for almost everything Avalanche. James, what's going on?
How you doing there, Jay?
You ready for episode number 96 of the Avs Hockey Podcast?
I am ready for
Absolutely.
I love it. I'm ready for episode number 96 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Tell me, Jay, who wore number 96 for the Avalanche? Hit me with somebody that's just going to blow my mind. Make me remember the glory days, the heydays of this player. Who was it that wore 96?
Nobody.
Come on.
Nobody. You know what the rumor is, though? If Mikko Rantanen makes the team, he's going to wear 96. Mm-hmm. Did I get his name right? Did I butcher his name already? No.
You may have.
Hang on. Man, we really are in midseason form. But hey, Avs fans, welcome back to another great season of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche. We appreciate you being here. James and I were talking about this before we recorded, and it looks like we've been doing this for 5 years. We are beginning year six together, season six together. Mm-hmm. So happy anniversary, James Tapeley Graylian.
Thanks. Happy anniversary to you.
Right on.
It seems like it couldn't have been longer than 10.
It seems like it couldn't have been any longer than 5 years. And it is. So there it is. It's 5 years in a show. So we're excited to be back in your ear holes. We're excited for a big 2015-16 season. It's the 20th anniversary of the Colorado Avalanche. They're going to be celebrating and doing stuff all year long. There'll be reunions and an outdoor game and new jerseys and patches and new players and all kinds of great stuff that we'll keep you up to date on. So
it's just going to be a lot of awesome sauce.
I think it really is. I think, the last, especially, it's hard to believe it's been, 14 years since the Avalanche won their last Stanley Cup. So if they're not making the playoffs or playing out of their minds or playing really, really well like they were a couple years ago, it can sometimes be kind of hard to find stuff to celebrate, but the Avalanche are going to create that this year, and I think it's going to be a great year.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. There's been a lot of changes, a lot of things that have been upgraded, I think, in this lineup, and we're going to talk about some of that, some of the moves that have happened. Let's dig into what we haven't talked about lately. The things that have happened in this offseason since our last episode, Jay.
That's exactly what we do. So we'll start on June 18th. The Avalanche unveiled their 20th anniversary logo. There's plenty more details that came out since then. We've actually seen the jerseys actually done up. They have some different things going on the jerseys we'll talk about. But, some people like the patches and some people didn't, and that's the internet. But it looks like they'll wear one patch on their white jerseys and their burgundy jerseys, and they'll wear a different patch on their newly unveiled third jerseys, which we'll talk about here in a little while, too. So, James, have you seen the jerseys?
The jersey or the patch?
Let's start with the patch. Have you seen the patch?
I like up close the patch. Or anything?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen it up close, but I like the I like the little design I've seen. It's fine. I really liked the one that I really liked the 10th anniversary one, the 10 seasons one.
Oh yeah.
That was a lot of fun. I have one of those on a game worn jersey. So
absolutely,
and I'm sure that you do too. Of course,
I've got a few. I mean, those of you that know me pretty well, you like. you know, I like jerseys, you know, I like patches, and when you put them together, it's a lot of trouble. That's your, the Kolesnik, your Kolesnik yes. jersey, right? Oh yeah.
Yes, it is. Which ones do you have?
I've got a lot. I've got, okay. The one that sticks, the one that sticks out the most is, double patched, from the season opener. They did the Avalanche wore jerseys that were auctioned off, and every team in the NHL wore jerseys that were auctioned off to benefit Hurricane Katrina, the benefit type things. And I have the Dan Hynote from the first period of the first home game of the 2005-2006 season. So it doesn't have a lot of game wear or anything like that, but it's if there's one thing that I like better than a jersey with a patch on it, it's a jersey with two patches on it. So there's that.
I just want to get something clear before anybody decides to write in. They were not doing a benefit for Hurricane Katrina. Money raised did not go to the actual hurricane.
Did I make it sound like that?
The hurricane itself did not get any support at all from the Avalanche.
It didn't need any
support. Not only that, hurricanes don't even have bank accounts. There is nothing to be given. How do you get that money to a hurricane, and what is it really going to spend it on anyways?
Sorry, if I made it sound like that. That's my fault. Again.
I just wanted to make sure that nobody was confused.
Yeah, we don't want that.
No, the Avalanche did not give money to an actual hurricane.
Like anybody would ever be confused listening to the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost anything, everything Avalanche, yes. almost anything as well.
And so. And they when they do Hockey Fights Cancer, they don't actually send somebody to physically fight cancer. There's no punching involved.
Cancer does not
Let's just
not
all
need
calm
any.
Down. For a minute.
Yeah. We're here to help you people. We're just here to help and clarify things and make things simpler. Yep. That's what we do sometimes.
Also, I have been to the Hockey Hall of Fame. It is not just a hall. There are rooms. Okay. I think we can continue. all clear now.
Would you like me to move to June 24th, James?
Let's do this. I just wanted to make sure that we are all on the same page here.
All right. I think we're good. If anybody's still confused, let us know. All right, June 24th, the new NHL, there are some new NHL rules announced for next season. Overtime's no longer going to be 4-on-4. It will be 3-on-3, and then it will still go to a shootout. There's going to be some expanded video review. That was kind of vague, so I think what they're going to do is maybe pucks that hit the net behind the goaltenders that wasn't called. Maybe they can review that type of stuff. There's also
there's a lot of goalie interference is one of the big ones
exactly.
that's going to be
there's,
looked at.
There's going to be a coach's challenge for goalie interference, and there's going to be a coach's challenge for offside as well. And it's going to work for those of you that are NFL football fans. It's going to work similar to that. You can challenge something. The officials will go video review it as long as you have a timeout. If you don't have a timeout, you can't initiate a challenge. If you do. And win the challenge, you keep your timeout. If you initiate a challenge when you have a timeout and you lose the challenge, you lose your timeout, and that's pretty much it. So I'm not quite sure if this will actually add to the length of games. I know there's no pro sports league that is interested in lengthening games. So it's going to be interesting how this all works out. And as we see some of these things in person and live, and we'll have to see it in, you know, as it happens to kind of get a good feel for it. I don't know. Any thoughts on those, James?
Well, the 3-on-3 overtime, I think, is the most interesting, obviously the change itself, but also, so the AHL last season, what they did 3 minutes of 4-on-4 overtime. And then at any whistle after 3 minutes, they switched to 4 minutes of 3-on-3, which is just flat out confusing, but still that meant basically 7 minutes of overtime and then a shootout. The NHL players didn't want that. They wanted to keep it consistent and just do the 5 minutes because they didn't want to lengthen games. And to me, that's just a little bit weird because they're talking about lengthening games. It's a safety issue, blah, blah, blah. And yet the playoffs can go to as many overtimes as you need and frequently did this past season. So, you know, lengthening a game by 2 minutes to avoid the shootout, I think isn't that big of a deal, but you know, it's a fair enough compromise. And really, again, this is one that's going to have to be, we're going to have to see how it evolves and not just, you know, I would ask that people form an opinion after a season of it, not just like one game of it or two games of it, but it's going to be really interesting to see how the coaches
bog it down, because I think that's what the that's what's going to happen. Some they're going to try and once the coaches start to actually play with it and see what happens with it, then they're going to start making adjustments and go, okay, how do we slow this down? How do we make this more defensive? How do we make this less of a chance?
There'll definitely be some be some gamesmanship, and I think the coaches will definitely milk that as much as they can. And I think what the NHL was definitely looking for, which is kind of what the AHL was trying out, is just more wins in regulation and more wins in overtime rather than shootouts. I think the newness and the, I don't know what you'd call it with the shootout, it's starting to go away. I think there's so many points that are left out there, or teams that play for a shootout, and it just, people keep referring to it as a skills competition, and it ends up affecting the standings, not in a major way, but I mean, it does come up. So I think that the other things that have been thrown around is a longer overtime period. So if they, if they go from maybe 5 to 8 minutes or 5 to 10 minutes with 3-on-3, maybe they'll get what they want. Cause I don't like the shootout one way or another. I think it's exciting. I don't mind watching it, but I'd rather see a game winning goal rather than a game winning shootout goal. And that's even if the Avalanche win everyone. I'm not saying this as an Avalanche fan. I'm saying this just as a hockey fan. I like grinding and game-winning goals rather than shootout game-winning goals over anything else. So there's that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think that I know a lot of pundits, a lot of people don't like the shootout, and that's fine. And the people who don't like the shootout are going to talk about not liking the shootout. And yet, when the shootout comes, the fans are standing, they're cheering their players, they're booing the opposing players, and the three-point game is the greatest marketing scheme that has ever been invented by the NHL, that you can lose a game and walk away with your head held high saying, well, at least we got a point.
Yep.
And it wasn't a tie game. That's brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant.
There's a game winning goal that's scored really by nobody. There's a phantom goal where the Avalanche win 4-3, and who scored the game winning goal? No one. So it kind of messes with the stats a little bit too. And I'm not saying that I despise the shootout. I just rather see a goal or a snipe or an odd man rush decide a game rather than a skills competition. That's where I am with it. I'm not mad at it though.
Yeah. No, I can understand. I don't blame you. I mean, I kind of miss the old ties. But at the same time, I do enjoy seeing players being able to display their skills in times that aren't just a hyped up commercial like the All-Star game or the All-Star skills competition.
Yeah, it's kind of somewhere in between, but then also who doesn't like a 14 round shootout? I mean, those are fun to watch, and there's nothing wrong with those.
Merrick, I got two words for you. Merrick Malik. That guy with his goal that he scored in that Rangers,
what was it?
15 round shootout.
That was unreal.
And between the legs.
And the celebration.
Oh,
yes.
Just an understated thing of beauty.
I know.
We got to put that video in the post.
Oh, we can do that. But I'm going to, we should make a note of that. Merrick.
Okay.
Malik. I made a note of that.
You're never going to see that. You're hardly going to see that in a game. The other one that I would say that probably was close to it was Thomas Hertl's fourth goal in his four goal game, where he scored with the stick between his legs. And that was a complete blowout, and that was a regulation goal. So
you
see it occasionally, but boy, if you want to see what some of these guys can do with their hands, it's going to be in the shootout, and you know that's. You know, the legend of, and think about it this way, the legend of Peter Forsberg, the stamp of Peter Forsberg came in the shootout.
Yep.
And that was international competition, the absolutely. Forsberg goal, the shootout. So
he left a stamp on the game.
Oh.
I love that noise. I love it when James makes that noise. Oh, and I've got two words for Avalanche fans, Wojtek Volski. I mean, how money he was in the shootout for that season. I can't remember the exact season, but he was money. Mm-hmm. He had like a Forsberg type move, but he had a bunch of other moves. And, you know, there's nothing like watching your guy and Varley a couple seasons ago as well. When you know guys are going to be money and you know they have a chance to step up, and you've got a guy like Volski who's most likely going to score, a guy like Varley who just stones, you know, player after player, opposing player in the shootout. That's exciting too. So I'm not saying, like I said, I'm not saying I hate it. But I just like to see some more action and hopefully some more regulation wins. And they've also talked about, you know, 3 points for a regulation win, 2 for an overtime win, and 1 for a shootout. Or, you know, they can play with the points a little bit too, eventually, if they have to. So it'll be interesting to see if they make some adjustments after that.
I mean, I've played in, now obviously this is not the same. And I say that every time we talk about like a men's league or whatnot, but I've played in a men's league where it was a 3-point system. And mind you, everybody make the playoffs because, you know, that's just you paid to play.
Your money. Yeah.
But in a 3-point system, things can get away from a team that doesn't have a good start pretty fast. And so that's the one problem. So
the NHL values that parity as well. And I don't blame them on that either. It makes for some exciting hockey late in the season. And everybody likes that.
If there was a way to do it without the shootout, I think people would be a lot happier, but there's only so much you can do. And I think it's better than winning a football game on a coin flip, you know? So
I agree. We're good there.
All right. I got 3 words for you. June 25th.
That was 2 words. No, 25th.
That was 3 words.
All right. That's a word and a number. Okay. Anyway, the Avalanche schedule was released on June 25th, as James just mentioned. The Avalanche will open against the Minnesota Wild, which I find is a wonderful thing, on October 8th at Pepsi Center. Their first 3 games of the season will be at home. They have a 7-game road trip, November 10th to the 23rd, which ties for the longest road trip in Avalanche history. And on February, the other highlight, big highlight for the season, February 27th, the Stadium Series game will be at Coors Field. Avs Red Wings alumni game night before. Be there or not. So,
yep. You have your tickets, right?
We got our tickets. We're all set to go. I know I'm really excited for that. I'm excited for all the stuff that'll be happening around it. I know you're going to work hard to get here. I know a lot of people are going to fly, and I'm just looking forward to hopefully meeting a bunch of people that otherwise wouldn't be here, but it gives us a chance as Avalanche fans to all get together and celebrate, I guess, the history that this team has put together, and I think it'll be fun. So hoping to have a big old meetup for that and shake some hands and say thank you for the support, and there's that as well. And I hope as many of you can make it as possible, so we can make it even more special for sure.
That'd be awesome.
Absolutely. So, Avalanche start real soon here against the Minnesota Wild. That's a really great way to start. And hopefully the Avalanche can start better than they did last year against the Wild. So, also June 25th, the Avalanche acquired, forward Carl Soderberg from the Boston Bruins for a 6th-round draft pick in the 2016 draft. Basically what this was is to get the rights to sign him because his contract was up with the Bruins, and he would have become an unrestricted free agent. But that's what they did. The next day, they signed him to a 5-year deal worth $4.75 million per season. He's 29 years old, 6'3", 216, and was tied for the 3rd leading scorer for the Bruins last season with 44 points, including 13 goals and 31 assists. And then after this is when the Ryan O'Reilly speculation. And basically, there's a lot of people right away saw this deal and said, all right, Ryan O'Reilly is as good as gone. What do you think of Soderberg? Did you have a chance? Have you had a chance to watch him at all throughout the years? Or?
A little. I mean, I think he's fine. I think he's a good, player. The thing is, he comes from a Boston Bruins team that was a little bit on the decline, but still a very tough team and still a very good team. And if you are, if you're doing that well with scoring, on a team like that, you're going to do pretty well. And the Avalanche, obviously, as you said, the trade was for his rights so that they could sign him. They were obviously talking to his agent also through this and, you know, hey, we want to trade for his rights. Will he be willing to sign with us? Blah, blah, blah. When you become a trade partner like that, there should be no problem with that kind of communication.
Absolutely.
So, absolutely. And sure, it was absolutely a time when the room for O'Reilly was starting to become a little smaller.
Absolutely. And I think Avalanche kind of sent a message there. A couple other things about Soderberg. He is, either totally blind or legally blind in one of his eyes, which makes it even more amazing that he can play at this level and play a game like this, with something like that. So, I mean, heck, there's people with two good eyes that can't do, you know, a quarter of what he can do. So good for him. And yeah, this is really when things started to pick up and said, you know, O'Reilly is as good as gone. Another thing too, is as far as the deal, I don't think it was the length of the deal, but 4.75 per season. A lot of people kind of balked at that, but who doesn't balk at almost every deal that's made now, as far as that's way too much for that guy. When you're a free agent like that, hey, you get what the market will give you. You know, you don't find many deals anymore. It's like, wow, that was pretty cheap. I mean, people don't go where for hometown discounts. I mean, Paul Stastny's a great example. I know he would have loved to stay here, but he couldn't turn down that deal. So, that is what it is as well. So looking forward to watching Soderberg. Like I said, I like the size this team has added, and we'll talk in more specifics as we get into some of the deals. But yeah, this was the debut.
Really, there was actual complaint about $4.75 million per season.
Yeah, there was
O'Reilly was making what, 6.5?
Yeah, I mean, there's I know it's the GM thing,
and Paul Stastny got cast off for and made how much?
He left for 7, and it's
yeah.
I don't know. Everybody, it kind of entertains me in a sense, because I think people get angry like they're spending their money. Like their money has been spent on getting this player. It's somebody else's money. So I just try and stick with that. I can't really control how much people are paid, what the jerseys look like, and who they decide to sign and let go. All I know is that I'm just going to cheer for the team that I like the best. That's kind of where I am. So
4.75 for a guy who's probably a second line center, and maybe, you know, a piece that you can move around and see where he fits really well.
Yeah,
I think that's fine. Yeah. They lost Stastny because they couldn't afford him. And then they are, you know, they had to overpay O'Reilly and probably go into another contentious negotiation with him, which they basically suddenly resolve by getting somebody who's cheaper than both of them and is the third leading scorer on the Bruins, you know, who have had a lot of good players. And they did a deal with the Bruins, who are cap strapped. They had the Bruins had a lot of issues that they had to resolve. This seems to me like a really good deal. Like a good deal.
If you're going to
balk at anything, it's the 5 years, because what if he doesn't work? But $4.75 million is a very tradable salary.
Well, so I hope it works out either way. Yeah. I mean, that's really where I am with every move. There's always a couple that might make me raise my eyebrows, but that's pretty much all I do with it. So.
Yeah, no, I think this is going to be interesting, and you know, we'll see how he plays out, but you know, give it a chance.
We're going with you. That's how you guys, those of you that have been with us, you know us. We're going to wait for like a quarter of the season, maybe even more, maybe even never. But I mean, we're going to wait for a while to see how things work out before we try and break things down and say anybody messed up or whatever it is. So.
Yeah. All right. I mean, if I didn't like him, I would say so. But there's nothing I don't see that's wrong. You know, that's wrong with him. It's just, you know, let's see.
That's what we'll do. I like that.
All right.
June 26th.
So
go ahead. Sorry.
Draft day. Yes. No, go for it. Draft day. We were there. The Avs were still doing stuff.
Draft day. Everything starts swirling. Number one was there was new details on the jerseys that came out. The Yeti feet, the kind of Bigfoot feet that are on the shoulders are now gone. It's a Colorado logo, like right the C right in the middle of the flag. That's what you will find on each of the shoulders. So there's that. And people hated them. People liked them. That's just how it goes. If you want to see this in action, you can kind of go to the Avalanche's website. You can see that they photoshopped the new C onto people's shoulders on the main page. So check that out. Again, some people flipped out and said, I missed the Yeti foot. And that was what it was. But before anything happened, the Avalanche traded Ryan O'Reilly and Jamie McGinn to Buffalo for defenseman Nikita Zadorov, forward Mikhail Grigorenko, forward JT Compher, who's still in college, and the 31st pick in the draft, which they later traded. So the Ryan O'Reilly saga was finally over, and he got paid. He got paid a ton of money. It was really interesting with how this was structured, though. James, you want to talk a little bit about the structure of this contract and maybe what you thought about it? I don't think there's any other NHL contract out there like it right now.
It's a weird contract, but this is actually something that's trending right now with the players. He got $7.5 million a season. He got $1 million base salary and a $6.5 million signing bonus every season. And you're going to say, okay, so what is the point of that? Why not just pay him $7.5 million in, with salary? What this does is, remember how, of course, there was the old structures of the cap circumventing salaries. Well, what a lot of players are concerned about is that there's going to be another lockout. And if there is another lockout, the signing bonuses are more protected. The signing bonuses can get paid to these guys and not their salary.
So July 3rd is going to be Ryan O'Reilly's favorite day of the year by far.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because he gets the money. And then if there's a lockout after that, well, he has his money.
Not too bad.
So he's shorted out 1 million, but not the 6.5 million.
And everything still goes against the cap as well. They're not trying to.
Yep.
They can't do that. That would be too easy to do.
No, because and there are rules, of course, in place now about that, about circumventing the cap and doing those, you know, where they tailed off and then they're going to retire. And teams were getting punished for that. If a team bought out a player that was in that scenario, or if there was a player that retired early before his contract was up, and yet still, and those contract years were only the low salary salary ones. They got this whole cap recapture thing that was A, confusing, and B, kind of ridiculous, but C, ended those deals. That's kind of why these things are structured that way.
So there's that. And we won't comment on this a ton because there's just a lot of jokes and a lot of, There was some pretty hateful stuff out there, but Ryan O'Reilly kind of quote unquote celebrated on July 9th by allegedly driving his classic pickup truck while impaired, allegedly, into a Tim Hortons in Ontario. I think the best tweet I saw about this that wasn't like totally inappropriate or totally like over the top, it was Ryan O'Reilly couldn't do anything more Canadian than he did that day. So hopefully things work out with Ryan O'Reilly. Had some good times with the Avalanche. We obviously all wish him well. I hope everybody wishes him well. Yep. We'll see how things go. $7.5 million is a lot of money. It's I think it's more than any Avalanche player is making. Is that correct, James?
I think so. Yeah.
It's Landeskog and Duchesne are both at six, and that's about it. Varley's also at six. So that's $1.5 million more than any. I mean, there comes a point where teams just can't afford the talent that they're given or the talent that's with them. And Ryan O'Reilly is a perfect example of that. So there that is.
And keep in mind, that's actually $500,000 more than Paul Stastny. So
that puts him well into the top 20 paid players in the league, as far as I know. And I like Ryan O'Reilly. I like his talent. I enjoyed watching his years here. But when it comes to the top 20 players in the league, I think O'Reilly's up there, but I don't know. We'll see. That's one of those things.
Yeah, I don't think so.
More details on what the Avalanche got back. Zadorov is a former first-round pick of the Sabres in 2013. Grigorenko is a first-round pick of the Sabres in 2012. So it was really pretty interesting how quickly the Sabres gave up on those two. And Confer just finished his sophomore season at the University of Michigan. I don't think he's going to come out quite yet. Don't quote me on that. So there's those two, kind of excited about the size and the skill they bring. Grigorenko played for Patrick Roy in the Quebec Major Junior League. So they're kind of reconnected, always very cool. Kind of like an Alex Tanguay type thing when a coach or an organization thinks enough of a player that they will bring them back after they have to let them go or trade them or whatever. I think that's a pretty big compliment for sure.
Yeah, and it's hard to really evaluate them on how they did with the Sabres, considering how bad the Sabres were. I mean, the Sabres were expecting to get Connor McDavid this year, and they did, and they missed out because of the lottery, and they were pretty upset about it. But that was a pretty bad Sabres team.
It was. So, I'm excited to watch these guys. Also, during draft day, the Avalanche select Finnish forward Mikko Rantanen with the 10th pick in the draft. He's 18, and he was ranked the top international skater in the draft. And from what it sounds like, he'll have a chance to make the Avalanche's roster, but it's definitely not a done deal. I think through the last few years, especially as the Avs have struggled, their first round picks, their high picks, the Duchesnes, the Landeskogs were the McKinnons were expecting them to play. Rantanen, they may not push if they don't need to. They've got plenty of people that have played before that may be ready for the NHL, but hey, if he comes into camp and performs and they think he's going to stay, heck, go with it. Why not? Mikko Rantanen.
Welcome. I don't know. I just think that there's enough Avs forwards right now that didn't spend any time seasoning in the minors. And I don't, while they're a very talented group, including former Avs player, Ryan O'Reilly.
There is
a reason that the minors are there, and there's a reason that these guys need a little bit of seasoning. And I would like to see, I'd like to see him stick a little bit in the AHL just to get a little of that seasoning in there.
Well, either way, I think, like I said early in the show, he has mentioned that he'd like to wear 96. So if he does make the team, this will be the Mikko Rantanen edition of the Ice Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything. Okay. Avalanche. All right. Then it was time for free agent frenzy. It was July 1st. As expected, the Avalanche make some moves, and I have to give them credit. There's teams that'll kind of sit and say, we're good. I don't think a lot of Avalanche fans would have been happy with that. So we got to see some moves, and we like to see that. The first move was 29-year-old former Pittsburgh Penguin forward Blake Como, 3-year deal worth 2.4 a season. He had 31 points last season and can basically play on any line. Let me cover one more, and then we can kind of talk a little bit about these guys. The Avalanche also signed 35-year-old. Well, these are the only two moves they made. 35-year-old former Anaheim Duck defenseman Francois Beauchemin to a 3-year deal worth 4.5 per season. And Joe Sakic described him as bringing toughness, leadership, and a veteran presence to the blue line. And he'll also be paired with Eric Johnson. Avalanche needed and were looking for and lacked a big gun left-hander on the blue line, and they finally have one with some experience, with a Stanley Cup, with some toughness. And I've heard from some Ducks fans that said you will be happy with Beauchemin as long as he stays healthy. The 3-year deal for a 35-year-old, always a little shaky, but it's worked well so far with a player like Jerome McGinley, so we're going to go with it. Thoughts on the two guys the Avalanche picked up on July 1st, James? You excited?
Well, I am. I mean, first off, they might as well have picked up three, because Carl Soderberg, we talked about already, even though he was he was going to be a free agent.
Right.
So that kind of can be thought of as a free agent move. It was a move for a guy that was going to be a free agent. So, but regardless, so the Avs made moves, which is nice. They did things to bring in things that they needed. Blake Como, I have no problem with. I think he could be fun. It could be interesting. We'll see where he fits. Beauchemin, I'm pretty happy with. I know that a lot of people weren't happy with him because of his age, but he's a tough player. The fans loved him. The fans loved him in Anaheim. He went to Toronto. I was at his first game back in Anaheim after he went to Toronto, Leafs Ducks game. And they played like a video, thank you Beauchemin. And at the time, Brian Burke was also for his first game back. And Burke was the GM of the Ducks when they won the cup.
Sure.
And they honored those guys. They played a video saying, hey, thanks for being back. The fans stood and cheered, all of that. And then the Ducks brought him back, and they brought him back for a reason. And I think he's going to be fine. I mean, you're not going to see a ton of numbers out of him as far as goals and the like, but looking at his stats, he did pretty well this year. 11 goals, 12 assists, in the regular season, and then 16 playoff games, he got 9 assists.
He's got a lot of playoff experience. He brings a lot to the table. I think the one thing that gets lost, that it's easy to try and make predictions, but chemistry. Hopefully he brings, you know, who knows how it's going to work out, but hopefully the chemistry works, and that's where goals or stats or no stats, if you can get these guys clicking, hopefully he can.
Yeah, that's
– yeah, go ahead.
That's the one thing that I don't like about this whole penchant right now for you know, hey, we got this guy and he's going to play with this dude. Hey, we got this guy and he's going to play. They did the same thing with Stewart, didn't they? Where they brought in Stewart and, he's going to play with Johnson. Well, that really didn't happen much. And there was already some chemistry with Hayda and Johnson. And you're like, why announce this now? Yeah. Just see where they fit. See where the chemistry is. You're locking yourself into something that you don't need to lock yourself into.
That's just what was said initially. Maybe that'll change, but overall, man, I'm really happy. Yeah. I'm really happy with the size that the Avalanche added, because throughout the years with the Duchesnes, with the McKinnons, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them, but in today's NHL, being big, strong, and fast is you know, something that you definitely want. So Soderberg is 6'3", mm-hmm. 216. Zadorov is 6'5", 220. Grigorenko 6'3", 209, Como 6'1", 202, and Beauchemin 6'1", 208. So they added some size, which like I said, you like those big skaters. You like the Chris Stewart kind of big, tough guys that can skate a little bit and work through checks and, mm-hmm. and dig pucks out of corners. And the Avalanche are moving that direction for sure.
And that was something I feel that they lacked, but also, you know, I believe it was Patrick Roy who said that the team wasn't tough to play against. Yeah. Well, this looks like a tougher team to play against just from those moves right there. I completely agree.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit more about the defense in a little bit. Yeah. But yeah, once we get through the rest of what happened in the offseason. But yeah, that right there, they're beefing up a bit. And sure. That's nice to see.
Absolutely. Well, there's just a few moves, like James mentioned, July 16th. The Avalanche signed Mikhail Grigorenko to a one-year $675,000 deal. He will be a restricted free agent after next season. July 27th, the Avalanche signed Joey Hischen to a one-year two-way deal worth $890,000. For those of you that are kind of new to that language, a two-way deal means he can more easily play down in San Antonio. He won't necessarily have to clear waivers every time he does that. So it's basically saying that he will not be on the NHL roster the whole year. They're not necessarily expecting him to, although heck, you never know what might happen. And on August 6th, the Avalanche signed goaltender Calvin Pickard to a one-year deal worth $850,000. Just to remind everybody out there, Reto Berra is signed through this season as well as next season, and take that as you'd like to. And also September 9th, recent move, Stefan Elliott was moved to the Arizona Coyotes, Arizona, Phoenix, whatever mm-hmm. they're called now, for defense. Is Gormley a defenseman? I don't even know. That's how much we've done our homework on this one. But he was.
It's one of those trades that, you know, whatever.
It was just kind of what it was. Tell me
well, the most notable part about it, the most notable part for me with this is it's another defenseman swap with the Coyotes, which seems like something that happens every couple of years. The Avs and Coyotes do deals for defensemen, regular trading partner. It's just amazing how often it happens. Is think why
they have some, they have some the chemistry. Coyotes, they have good chemistry, like we were talking about. That'll work
when you have a good relationship with teams, and you can have win-win trades. Then hey, great, keep going with them. But, yeah. You know, the thing with this trade for me is just that Elliott has been around so long. He's gotten so many looks, and there just hasn't been room for him. And, you know, but this is so, you know, good for him moving on. And maybe there'll be a room for him there in Arizona. Maybe not. Maybe he plays with their AHL team. But also that, you know, don't forget that when we look at this stuff, the Avs have to stock basically 2.5 to 3 teams. They have to stock their NHL team. They have to stock their AHL team, and they have to stock their ECHL team, or whoever they're sharing the ECHL with, because the ECHL still has a couple of teams that share. since there's only 28 teams. So yeah, there's, I mean, these moves and moving those pieces around is just as necessary as moving the pieces around in the NHL.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if this guy can fight for, you know, if Gromley can fight for more ice time, if he can be the guy that gets called up, because Elliot, you know, Elliot basically was, he'd get called up every so often, but that's kind of what Redmond was there for and what Redmond's going to be now that there's not much room for him anymore on the blue line.
Exactly. So. No, I agree. After all those moves, just moving forward with that, the Avalanche still about $9 million under the salary cap. They still need to make deals or deal. And I'm not saying I'm saying anybody, any of these guys need to be moved. So don't tackle me on that one. After this season, Nathan MacKinnon will be a restricted free agent. Tyson Barrie will be a restricted free agent. And Eric Johnson will be an unrestricted free agent. It's good to have money available for stuff. A lot of teams don't have that option and they end up having to get creative. The Blackhawks come to mind. They've had to do this through the years. They end up having to move like a Brandon Saad or a Dustin Byfuglien or things like that because they just can't
play
just,
with that. They just moved for Stieg for more salary space. And
there you go.
They signed, I think it was Kruger. Yes. They re-signed him. So,
that,
yeah.
That was yesterday.
Yeah, you got to – some. They have to blow those things up sometimes because of that cap Absolutely. Space. And the Avs are – I think I just saw that they were like – ranked 11th in salary. So, you know, they're, in other words, one would be the absolute most spending team. And they were like 11th, which is a lot better than like, let's say a couple of years ago when they were like 28th, 29th. And it didn't seem like they gave a dang anyways.
So you want to spend that?
Yes, I said give a dang.
Yes.
Yes, I did.
Thanks for keeping it clean. This is a family friendly show. Gosh darn it.
Yeah. Gosh darn it. Get off my lawn.
That's right. So we are bidding farewell, from last season's roster to Ryan O'Reilly and Jamie McGinn, once again, off to the Sabres. Jan Hayda, who recently got a professional tryout with the Blackhawks, per Aaron Port's line of the Columbus Dispatch. Thank you for that one, James. Ryan Wilson has a professional tryout with the Flames. Danny Briere retired. Congratulations to Danny Briere. I have yet to hear anybody say anything bad about that dude. He scored a lot of big goals. He scored his 300th in probably, I'd say it was one of the goals of the year, if not the goal of the goals, goal of the year last season with his last second game winner in Boston. And farewell to Stephen Elliott, who is off to the Coyotes. So again, once again, hello to Blake Como, Mikhail Grigorenko, Carl Soderberg, Francois Beauchemin, and Nikita Zadorov, and also maybe Mikko Rantanen. So that's the offseason. Not a lot of moves yet to be made. Rookie camp has started a little bit and is starting to gear up a little bit. And pretty soon we'll have some preseason hockey. And in less than 1 month, about 3 weeks away, we'll have some regular season hockey. So big thoughts on the offseason as a whole. James, what do you think? Did this team get better, get worse, stay about the same? Are you a little more excited for this season than you were, say, a couple months ago?
A little more. I mean, it took a long time to kind of get the feel for this team from this past season. We talked about it some before. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how these pieces fit in, how these guys work their way into the lineup. I'm kind of excited because I'm not really going to miss the shenanigans that went along with Ryan O'Reilly. I'm not going to miss the underperforming of Jamie McGinn. I'm not going to miss the constant drama of the injury sagas with Ryan Wilson. And Danny Briere, you know, thanks. But, you know, have we, other than Brad Richards with the Chicago Blackhawks, have we seen a player that got bought out and then was signed somewhere else cheap and was actually motivated? I don't think we've actually seen that other than Richards.
I don't think so. Good call.
Yeah, so Briere, thanks, but, you know, it just didn't work out. The only one I might miss was Jan Hayda, and even he was kind of getting pushed to the side and aging out a little bit. But, I thought he was generally a pretty solid stay-at-home defenseman. I thought he was, and he would actually start getting some slap shots on net, which was kind of fun last season.
You didn't notice him much, and I guess as a defenseman, kind of like an official, you don't want to notice him, so... you kind of like to see him step up and do some dynamic things, but you also didn't didn't very often have to face palm and be like, what was that? So there was that with
me. Yeah. But yeah, I think that they've gotten, I think that the, when last season, when at the end of the season, when Waugh was talking about how the team wasn't very tough to play against, you know, that film reel, that loop starts going through your mind and you're like, oh yeah, yeah, I can see what you mean, you know? And that's one of the things that that I'm looking forward to, is seeing some of the guys who were not very tough to play against being moved out, being not having room for them. And a lot of those guys are on two-way contracts. You know, they have that NHL level salary, they have that AHL level salary, and they're going to be earning that AHL salary more likely. A couple of years ago, when when John Michael Lyles got traded away, he was part of that group that was the speedy quick defenseman, and all of a sudden the Avs got tougher very quick. They got that was of course Zanin, O'Byrne, O'Brien. And then the Avs didn't do so well with just the toughness. So they went back. And you have to strike that balance between tough and speed. And I think they're closer to that right now. So
yeah.
And I think that there's a couple of exciting guys, you know, that we're forgetting about, that we're not talking about, like Siemens, like Bigaris. We'll see where they are, you know. And maybe Holden and Gennon get pushed out. Who knows?
The blue line situation is interesting, because I don't think there's a ton of people that have really been that excited by what they've seen from Nate Gennon. Nick Holden has had his moments. Brad Stewart, we've been okay, but those are the eight guys. I think that Patrick Waugh liked keeping those eight. So you've got Barry, Boschman, Gennon, Holden, Johnson, Redman, Stewart, Zadorov. So it's going to be interesting to see who's the odd guy out or odd two guys out. And when you have guys like Siemens, who they brought up for a couple games last year, you've got Bigra, who has been pretty good, at least in his junior stuff and in some of the international stuff. I mean, you've got some guys coming up, and I think you still have Holden and Gennon, who are on contract for a little while longer too. So pushing them out isn't that simple. You still have to pay them. In fact, Holden signed for the next 3 years, and then Gennon is signed just through this year. So I'm already almost not expecting Gennon back. But the blue line continues to be kind of an interesting place in the Avalanche's organization, as far as people see improvement. They want new guys in there, and it's going to be, you know, depending on health, it's going to be interesting to watch this saga keep going throughout the season, and what Waugh decides to do and what Sakic decides to do with this roster. I'm just hoping they continue to get a little better, because it's been tough to watch the last couple seasons.
Yeah, you were talking about Waugh liking these guys. I mean, Waugh kind of has to like these guys. It's who he's got. You know, I mean,
yeah,
there's only so much you can do.
That's right.
You can't just say, well, man, let's just cut this guy like it's a football team. You know,
you can't. You still have to pay him. So, if they've got a contract, I mean, you can try and move him if you'd like to. But I think sometimes people forget that. It's like, well, I like this guy better than this guy, so let's get rid of this guy. And if it was that simple, I think it would be a very, very different game.
Not everybody in front of him has a Tebow on the back. So yeah,
a Tebow. I didn't think we'd get a Tebow reference in this podcast. Well done. Very well done. But yeah,
you'll have to go back and I'm going to slip in a Twin Peaks one at some point. So it'll be fun.
I'm ready for it. Bring it on. So hopefully we can get this, the Avalanche can get that kind of thing worked out, and hopefully everybody can stay healthy enough. Where, like, you know, Eric Johnson played a little over half the season last year, you know, things like that. So hopefully they can stay healthy, so they do have some options. That is definitely a good thing. The one thing I have heard is Patrick Bortolo. I don't know, from some of the stuff that I've seen and some of the people that have seen him skate, he still may not be ready to go. So maybe that opens up a roster spot for maybe a healthy Jesse Winchester, who we haven't heard a whole lot from, or maybe a Mikko Rantanen. So there's still a move or two that's going to be, towards the bottom of that roster that may make an impact. So everybody keep your eyes and ears open for that stuff. And, you know, pretty soon this is going to become a thing. They're playing real hockey here pretty soon. So,
yeah.
What else? Anything else? Jerseys? We can talk jerseys for a second. Have you seen?
Can we talk about the new third jerseys?
What do you think about them?
I don't like them. I don't like them. What don't you like
about them?
I don't like that they look like a cheap hoodie. They look like a cheap hoodie with the hood cut off. I'm really don't like them.
I'm trying to give them a chance because I want to see it all done up. I want to see the letters and the numbers on there. I want to see a patch. I wonder if the patch is going to be on the chest or on the other shoulder. For those of you that haven't seen it, there's like it's a mountain peak with the Colorado Sea in the middle of it. And there's a Colorado flag on, I believe, the left shoulder of the jersey. I'm wondering where they're going to put the 20th anniversary patch. And I'm wondering like what the number font and the name font's going to be before I can make any big decisions on it. And even stuff like what color are the pants going to be? Are they going to go with navy? Are they going to go with maroon? Are they going to go with white? I mean, I know that's the thing. Like even that's kind of up in the air. So I need to see them out on the ice and maybe even up close before I can make a big decision on it. And hopefully they'll look a little bit better to you and a lot of people that really haven't liked what they've seen so far. And again, this is stuff we can't control. I mean, I hope you're not losing sleep over any of this, anybody, but there's not much we can do about it. So the third jersey was actually leaked by NHL Shop. I don't think they necessarily meant to do this, but they started selling that and the Ducks' new alternate jersey that looks like one of their throwback jerseys. So I don't know. Maybe people will miss the blueberries when they hated them for so long.
I still don't like the blueberries. I don't like these. I get that they're trying to like do a little throwback to the Colorado Rockies hockey club that they don't own the logo to.
And they're getting as close as they can. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll put it in a triangle.
Just nobody will even notice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Colorado.
I mean, I'm hoping I'll give it a chance when I actually look at it. Yeah. But from what I've seen right now, I don't like it. Man, just bring back the burgundy thirds, the old ones that were just, I love those things. What is the problem? They were different. They stood out. Yeah. They have a Rangers feel to it in a way, you know, but who cares? They're simple. They're easy. And they were not blue, which everybody has blue. Everything looks like a website. We don't need the burgundies like that. Just don't give me blueberries. Give me burgundies. I'm happy with that.
Everybody like the
burgundy is unique to this club.
Yeah.
Emphasize that.
I don't meet any Jersey fans that didn't like that third. I mean, when you wear it or when I share pictures of some of the old thirds done up, especially when they have the 10th anniversary patch on them, everybody's like, that's a good looking jersey. I just think sometimes they work a little too hard. And I've also decided, especially with the patch that the Avalanche will wear this year, I'm over the piping. I'm over the piping on the blue, burgundies and the whites. The piping that comes up behind the neck and kind of looks like an apron. People say, you know, I've heard them called uniprons. I'm just kind of over that. As I kind of look at other jerseys up close, I bought a Devils jersey not too long ago. I bought a couple others and it's just, I don't know what the piping's there for. I'm just ready for something new. It's not that I hate these jerseys, but I think something new every 5-10 years. I mean, they've been in these edge jerseys now for almost a decade. When they made the switch from, it was Paul Stastny's rookie year. That's kind of how I can keep track of all this from kind of the larger kind of square cut to more of the curvy cut of these jerseys. And I think it's just time for a big old uniform change and just to kind of get some fresh new things in and get people excited about it again. So I don't know.
Well, that's going to happen relatively soon because Reebok does not have the next contract. The parent company of Reebok does, though, Adidas. That's right. That'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, we'll have to stay tuned on that one. We'll keep you up to date because this is your home for almost everything like Avalanche jerseys as well. So, yeah, let us know what you think about them. I mean, we're always happy to talk jerseys for sure. We like the jerseys. But I think you guys are almost all up to date as far as everything so far. Like I said, there'll be a few roster moves coming up here and some people will make the team and some people won't make the team and some people will get hurt. But pretty soon we're going to have some regular season Avalanche and NHL hockey to watch. And That's always a great thing. Are you ready for the season, James?
You know what? Normally, I've said this before to you, like normally when the season's coming up, I'm not quite ready. I'm like, summer, you know, like it could be a little longer. I could wait. No, actually this year I'm ready for the season to start. I'm ready. I'm ready for it to go. And I'll tell you, this year I've seen hockey every single month. I saw Team Canada, last month. In Calgary, World Junior, it was a World Junior tryout camp thing.
Nice.
And the month before that, I saw the Oilers when I was in Edmonton. I saw the Oilers have a prospect game, which means I saw Connor McDavid play, and he scored, like, I think it was 5 goals. There was originally announced as 4, but then they looked at another one, and he scored like 5 goals. It was ridiculous.
He's kind of good. He's good at the hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's going to be okay.
He's going to be fine. He looks like the real deal. As long as somebody doesn't go, like, you know, kneecap hunting like Ben Lovejoy did on Nathan MacKinnon on their first game.
Yes.
of his career, I think he's going to be just fine.
Right on. The scouting report brought to you by James Tapeleg Graylian.
And hopefully I'll be seeing a little bit of Sharks preseason or something coming up soon, because I am in San Jose right now. So
that'll work. That's right. I forgot to ask you where you were. You're in San Jose.
San Jose for a couple more weeks, and then I'm heading down to Costa Mesa.
It's a dry heat.
Oh, man. 101.
Oh, that's just plain hot.
Oh, when the weather report says the high is going to be like 98 or 96, and you look at it, it says high of 96, current temperature 100. You're like, come on.
Yeah,
come
well, on, I wasn't a math stop. Major, but that's not adding up there.
That's a little more. I ain't no fancy math doctor, but that can't be right.
Yeah.
So I think that covers everything.
I think we're good. I just like groaned. It's like, all right. Hey. How are you on the spiel? Do you want me to talk about some jerseys I've gotten, or would you like to do the spiel first?
Yeah, no, do the jerseys.
I'm going to do a little dance with the jerseys. For those of you that need your jersey fix, if you haven't seen stuff lately and you need to see stories and videos and stuff, I've done a lot of things lately. It was kind of slow for a little bit, but then I started picking up jerseys because that's what I do. I picked up Nate Gannon and Corey Sarich's Adam Footnight jerseys from when his jersey was retired. Those were one game jerseys. They have the patches on there just for that game. Love that stuff. I picked up Milan Hayduk's goal. He scored his final NHL goal in. I also picked up Eric Johnson's white set 2 from 2013 from that same season. I also picked up, I'm really excited, I picked up Gabriel Landeskog's set 2 white jersey from last season. The thing is hammered. It's like, what's cool. I think one of the reasons I wanted it all, I'm a huge Landeskog fan for those of you that know me well, but I also now either have a game issue or a game worn jersey of all the Avalanche captains in their history, which is kind of fun. I've got a Sackett game issue. I've got Hayduk and Foot game worn jerseys, and also Landeskog now. So,
nice.
Also thanks. Also big shout out to Exclusive Pro Sports. Denver Athletic is the company that letters the Avalanche's jerseys. Exclusive Pro Sports can do absolutely anything else for you guys. So if you're looking, if you need some help, if you need some suggestions, let me know. I can help you with anything. So if it's an Avalanche jersey, like a regular season Avalanche jersey that they wore at any time, Denver Athletic will do it for you. If it's an all-star jersey, send it to Exclusive Pro Sports. They're not giving me anything for this. They did fabulous work on some jerseys that I'll post some pictures of, some older all-star jerseys. What else? A Team Canada Joe Sakic that I had them do. So keep that in mind for all your stuff. They are fabulous. It takes a little while to get your jerseys back, but I guarantee you it's worth it. So keep your eye out for some of the all-star jerseys that I got from them. They'll do the stuff that Denver Athletic can't. And I loved them. They did some awesome work. So there's that. All right. How did I do there?
All right. Plenty. I'm ready for the spiel.
James is ready for the spiel. Here he goes.
You can always find the Avs Hockey Podcast at www.avshockeypodcast.com, where you can subscribe, in iTunes, because that is just the easiest way. And if you don't use iTunes, well, we have an RSS feed of it for you there too. You can also find out about Avs Chat, which Jay is going to do soon, coming up on Twitter.
Yeah, stay tuned for that.
Yep. And when the season starts, Avs Twitter Psychic, that game is going to start back up again, and there's the little primer on that. You can also take a look at the curse word shirts, because we haven't used curse word in a while, actually.
Oh, well, they're not playing hockey. We'll use it
once again there, which is also at curseword.net. You can hit Jay up on Twitter at Avs Podcast. He runs the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Avs Hockey Podcast, which is a lot of fun. You should definitely go to that, because he keeps the update on a lot of the comings and goings, puts videos up, has a good time there. You can call us at 845-704-7465. How many people have actually called us? None, but we still have a phone number there for you.
It's ready.
All of his jerseys and stuff, of course, at avshockeypodcast.com. And if you want, you can email us at avshockeypodcast@gmail.com. Jay is on Twitter, like I said, at avspodcast. I'm on Twitter at tapeleg. I think that's about the spiel. And I've got my blog at jerseysandhockeylove.com, which I'm going to be starting up as the season starts up some more hockey travel. So I've got some games I'm probably going to be going to in California with the Ontario Reign, possibly the Bakersfield Condors, some WSHL teams such as the Ontario Avalanche, the Valencia Flyers. Yeah, you heard me.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe even the Long Beach Bombers. I'm telling you, pretty cool.
Those are good nicknames.
Ain't they, though? So anyways, that's and that, I believe, is the spiel.
Get in touch with us, folks. I'm also on the Instagrams as well. Instagram.com/AvsHockeyPodcast. We're all over the place.
Just keep up with all of it.
Connect with us. We would love to talk Avalanche hockey. As I said before, we are super excited to bring you another season of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Your home for almost everything Avalanche. We'll be in your ear holes every few weeks. We'll talk about some Avalanche stuff, some NHL stuff, and just kind of keep you up to date and share our passion for the game. And we really appreciate the fact that you share your passion with us as well. I appreciate your time and your energy, James, and thank you very much. We'll talk again soon. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Jay.
Everybody else out there will be back in your ear holes, perhaps before the season, but I bet you after the season starts. But just keep an eye on your feeds and we'll be back in your ear holes. But until next time, thank you again for everything. Take care. Let's go Avs. And James and I will see you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. Later.
No, 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 no.